All right, let's make this happen. It's not been a while. I've been preaching for the last few weeks, except this last week, but it is weird, I think, to be on the stage. It's only been 3 weeks, but there's that sense of kind of like, what am I supposed to do? But I am really thankful to be here. I've said it 100 times to my wife. I just wish we were back home. I love being here at church. I love the community that we have. I love all that's been taking place within our church and hearing all the beautiful stories of what God is doing. It's been tremendous. And so my heart is always here, will always be here. And so I love that. So the past few months, we've been talking about all these particulars, and I hope you're taking notes. If you are new, go back to the podcast, the video, YouTube channels, all those things, and rewatch. You can also go to our app as well and watch them. It's important. I'm not going to reveal all that I've been leading up to until the end of August there to the last Sunday. So I don't have time to do a recap like I've been doing each week. I'm thankful for Pastor Adam and all that he brought to you guys as well. And he did a tremendous job, and I'm thankful for him. And those areas of interest that he spoke on speaks into what we're doing as a whole. And that's why I find it very important that you go back and listen, because the whole picture is really beautiful at the end of all of this, okay? So today, as I become closer to the fullness in Christ Jesus, more things are revealed to you. Now, we see these types of, verbiage in Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, and then also in Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 23. Now, as I become into the fullness of Christ, I think about that fullness. What's that look like? How does it work? And I think about, is it things that I need to be working on, or is it things that God just kind of bestows upon you, that God fills you up with? So I'm somewhat of a science nerd, meaning I love the physics of science. No, I do not like chemistry of science. I love the physics of science. I love how inertia works, and I love all these types of motions, and I love first and second, thermodynamics. I love all these types of things. I love gravity and the thought of the theory of relativity. Those things just intrigue me. One of the things that intrigues me is actually it's a perpetual motion. Perpetual motion is something you see often. Obviously, people try to mimic it on YouTube, and they use AI now, so you don't know what's real or what's not, but they'll have these perpetual motion machines, which is a theoretical machine. It's not real, and reason is because it goes against the laws of thermodynamics. So when you see the perpetual motion machines, it's what, for you that aren't science nerds, it's knowing that there's no external energy source that's actually feeding into the machine. It's its own energy source. So that's why it's theoretical, because everything has an energy base of some sort. So when you eat an apple, that's your energy, right? So you have to eat in order to survive in the function of your body. Well, in the same place is your spirit man. Your spirit man needs to have the fullness in Christ Jesus. So when you read these verses and you understand, oh, that's what it is. It's not like a body armor as I become fullness in Christ, and I grow a beard and I get to wear sandals because I'm becoming the fullness of Christ. That's not how it works. But there is this beautiful picture of fullness that we need to understand. Now, I'm giving you guys some pieces for today's message. Another aspect of the perpetual thing is, people have this romantic side of being their own person. And sadly, they'll fall victim to the ways of the world because they'll try to feed themselves with external sources, whether it be lust, whether it be wealth, whatever it is, those worldly things, they're trying to find a fix, something that makes them feel better about themselves. And what tends to happen is that you'll notice that the people who are acting like this are really acting in a position of deficit. They're in deficit. There's something that's not there, therefore they try to feed it. They'll find all of the things that are external to bring in some source of energy to them. And so it's really sad. It's really sad, especially because in the world of weird, let me just call it the world of weird, you got people who are like, there's energy in crystals. And it's like, no, there's not. They're a rock, all right? It's a rock. There's no energy in that. And for some of you who are like, essential oils, and listen, peppermint, great. I understand there's some real healing power when it comes to the world of plants and different things. But the idea that that essential oils give you energy, the idea that you have to drink caffeine, don't get me wrong, I love coffee. For all you who are like, you guys are calling me out. I love coffee. I love the warmth of it and the feeling in the morning, and I love all those things. But it's not something that you need, okay? So all of those things are what you would bring in as a substitute for what you truly need. And if you go to the Father, He will give you everything, okay? All that you need, meaning going to Him first is probably the best thing you can do in the morning time before you take that first step, before you take that first bite, before whatever, to say, Lord, what do you have for me? What is this? Because then what happens is that we fall into worry. When you have deficit, you fall into worry. There's a concern. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And worry will actually creep on in such a way that you may have a landslide that you don't know how to get out of because you become anxious, you become nervous, and then trust goes out the window, faith goes out the window, and you even will displace your emotions upon God and give Him this notion of like He can't even do things. And God doesn't operate from your emotions, by the way. It's interesting. It's very interesting how we'll displace those onto God, but it goes far, far greater than that. God is way bigger than you can think or imagine. What God can do, I know that we all too often fall into, as a victim to our culture, wherever we stand, we fall victim to putting God on the back burner of life because we have put restrictions, and you've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. We've put restrictions upon God and said, God didn't do this, or God didn't show up here, or I never saw this happen, or whatever. And then you just stop leaning in on Him. So therefore, you've made Him non-existent in your life. And does God operate in your life when you do that? So, for many of us that push God away, we then begin to make theology, doctrine, of what God can or can't do. And then sometimes we've grown up in denominations that, of certain denominations, that will create all sorts of theology and doctrine that is not in the Word of God, that is not for God, not for His people. And there we then, again, put God in a distance and not in our own lives. And we've got to be really careful on that, okay? Really, really careful. So, if you fall into a deficit, what happens, right? Worry. So how do we combat against worry? So today, we're talking about trust is where I stand, hope is where I go, and loved is who I am. So those three points this morning is what I'm going to talk about. I'll say it again. Trust is where I stand, hope is where I go, and loved is who I am. When you have those three facets in your life, then I guarantee you that's enough source from God that will get you to where you need to be. Now, that source is from God because of Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit, all right? So as you begin to operate in those three facets, you'll start beginning to see the revelation and the fullness of Jesus Christ in your life. You are placing God before the worry, before all of the cares of this world, and you're saying, I'm going to trust. So point number one, trust. Why should we trust God? Well, we've got plenty, but here we go. Trusting him is the most important thing. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I want to read that one more time. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, I want to read it one more time. His divine power has given us. Jared, are you us? Shane, are you us? Chris, are you us? Stephen, are you us? Bruce, us? All right. Nathan, us? Yeah. Brian, us? Pete, us? Okay. You ladies, you're like, what about us? Anna, us? Christian, us? Rebecca, us? Amanda, us? Antoinette, us? Isn't that beautiful? All of us. Isn't it weird, though, that somehow you believe a lie that you ain't us? Isn't that weird? The Word of God says it. I don't go against the Word of God. Man, oh man. That's the number one rule as a Christian. don't do that. Ah. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read verse 8 again. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and increasing, it's going. This goes against that perpetual motion of the idea that there's a machine that can do it on its own. You are not a machine that can do it on its own. There is a source, and the source is named Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ source, all right, via the Holy Spirit, because he said, it's far greater that I leave this earth so that you can be given the gift, which is the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you, all right? All of that to say that if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, there's an increasing, all right? I don't know about you, I don't want to be the same person I was yesterday. I don't want to be the same person I was a year ago. I want to be increasing every single day in my knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, the fullness that he has promised us. I want to increase in this. I don't want to decrease, all right? I don't want to turn my back on it. I want to increase in this fullness. So if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind and forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So, this is really, really important. Pay attention. When my trust has been stolen, it's not him. That's a problem in the church. We've put all of our external source on other things, and then the minute things go bad, you want to blame him, right? And you're not willing to just think about all of the other things. Point in hand here. Last year, some of you don't know this, some of you do. I was driving for a very long distance, and I woke up the next morning, and I had excruciating eye pain. I had eye pain for months, 4 or 5 months. We tried everything to figure out. Went to the doctor. We got all the eye drops. Come to find out, I think, to my knowledge, what we kind of concluded to, that it was just an extreme dry tear duct. And so I dealt with this for months, and it was excruciating pain. It was awful. But a few months ago, it started fluttering again. Like, oh, Lord, what in the world? So then immediately, I looked down at the same time, and there was that stupid cross-eyed cat that we owned. So then I started thinking about months. We got this cat then. We got that. We got this. We got Anna, it's your stupid cat. And then my daughter, who is, you know, young, that's her baby. So I'm immediately saying, kill the cat. Get rid of the cat. And she's freaking out, and my daughter's going, I don't care, right? I don't care. Again, we do this often. You feel something, you have pain, you try to reason out what it is, and then you start blaming certain things. It's not the cause whatsoever. Haven't had any eye problems since, and that cat is still all around me. All right. Point being, I caused pain to people around me, loved ones, my own daughter. I mean, I'm talking about my daughter who's literally like, Dad, you can't take my cat away. I'm like, I'll do whatever I want. Right. So you see how we do this with God as well. You know, it's God's fault. And it's like, like, be really careful with this. So again, when my trust has been stolen, it's not him. It's not him. Guarantee you it's not him. When your hope has lost its way, not him. It's not him. When you feel less than or unwanted, it's not because of him. You've placed your identity upon something. You have identified in a world that he's not a part of. And what happens is that world, you need things from, and they don't give it to you. That falsehood, that false love that's not there. You identify in a way of this world that you need them to compliment you. You need them to tell you all of these things. That's why my wife and I, we love each other, but that love comes from him. And if you don't love him together, then your love could be very different. So you displace your love upon physical things, on acts of servanthood towards one another, versus the love of God. When you have the love of God, you two are getting closer together. That's why it's important that the both of you should sharpen one another. You both should spur each other on towards that relationship with God. You should encourage everyone or your spouse to go closer to God. Because otherwise, when you are identifying as something else, what happens is that you actually find yourself homeless. Because you've built your house upon falsehoods, the sand. You haven't placed your house on the firm foundation of Christ Jesus, and by doing so, you are now identifying the bricks of your home are identified by his classification of who you are. So, trust. We have so many different reasons. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, therefore he is able also to save forever. I'm reading the Amplified Version because I love how they extend out the meanings of the words here. So it says, therefore, he is able to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him. So I'm going to read it one more time. Therefore, he is able also to save forever. Yeah. Ever. He's got you. He's able to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him, Jesus Christ, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf with God. Some people have this notion that Jesus does things against the Father's will. You're like, well, I don't believe that. Au contraire. Let me show you how. You think when you read that scripture that God wants to kill us all. God wants to smite sin. He loves Rob. Loves Rob. Xana loves Xana. He doesn't like sin. When we partake in sin, sin separates us from God. All right? So Jesus said, I came to do the will of the Father. I don't do anything against the will of the Father. So when you read the scripture, it says that therefore he is able also to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lived to intercede and intervene on their behalf. Jesus is doing what God wants him to do. God is for you. God is also for you. But God can't be associated with sin. So therefore, that's why Jesus Christ came, so that he would block the anger towards sin, not towards you. We have this notion that God's against us. Oh, Mickey, watch your back, man. God's coming after you. That's awful. How could you trust that? But that's not what the scriptures say. Scripture says that God is for you. Who could be against you? Jesus is saying, I'm intervening on your behalf, not against God, but against God's anger towards sin, to block you, to say, all right, he's growing in Christ Jesus. He's increasing day to day, glory to glory to glory, grace and mercy. I'm helping him grow, God. Because see, what happened was, back in the day, Moses was like, oh, nuts. They're doing it again. And Aaron's like, what are we going to do? And God's anger would come upon the people because there was no intervening. There was nothing to block, to say, hey, I'm going to block them. God was like, forget it. Can't do this anymore. Yeah. Some people have this notion that God just wants to kill us. God doesn't want to kill us. He wants to kill the sin. He's so angry of the sin because he knows that's not who Derek is. He can't handle the fact that that's not who Olivia is. Trevor, that's not who you are. I'm only using all your names this morning so you don't think I forgot your guys' names. All right, I still pray for you. I love you. Some of you this morning are like, I haven't seen you in forever. I'm like, it's been 3 weeks. But I remember all of you, okay? So, this is a knowing who God our Father is. Romans 8:27. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. With harmony. Holy Spirit, when you are a doer of God's word, when you say, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a bondservant, not a slave, a bondservant. Well, I want to be here. I want to do these things. When you are interacting with God in that way, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. I have people say, I don't know what I need to do. And I'll go, what are you substituting the Holy Spirit with? He's the source. People are like, Mountain Dew. You think I'm crazy. But people are so addicted to caffeine on this level that that's their source of energy. Got to have those 14 monsters today so I could get going. But yet God's given us more than enough, everything we need. We literally rely on external sources for the glory of God, the pleasures of the flesh. That's why we have to die to flesh. God tells us to die to flesh. I got to hurry up. We're still on the first point. You guys have to know that 100%, God will meet your needs. Do you guys know what the trust has a byproduct? Trust has a byproduct, and it's thankfulness. You know, we'll see in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist passes. This is Jesus's cousin, his first cousin. And then you see in Matthew 14, Jesus withdrew. And then he noticed the people that followed him, and he met them on the shore, and it says that he healed multiple people right then. So even in his despair of hurt, of loss, he met the need of the people. Then from that, he fed the 5,000, right, all in the same day. I mean, talk about an emotional moment of all that God was experiencing. He himself experienced pain of loss and sadness, and then turns around and gets to see people who can begin to see, walk. They're healed of all sorts of different ailments. So their victory and their celebration. Imagine all these highs and lows of emotions. And then the knowing that everyone's hungry and they didn't have enough money and all they had was a little. And then you can see in Matthew 14, 19, it says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. He gave thanks. That's called trust. The byproduct of trust is thankfulness. So in those moments where you are looking at a deficit of worry and the things that are going around you, it can't be transferred to a deficit of trust. This is a, I know God is good. I know God is with me. God is for me. And I may only have a little, but Lord, I'm going to thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
That is true trust. Hope. You know, faith in Christ produces hope, that faith of knowing. So Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you guys hear the progression here of all of these things? A lot of you heard all the bad stuff, and you're like, and you're like, that produces character, which produces hope? That doesn't make sense, because a lot of times people will flip it because of those things. You have no hope. But actually, the scriptures flip it the other way. Because of these things, you have hope.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The world will tell you, oh, just give up. Why even try? Man, you should just stop what you're doing. Not according to God's word. When you're doing his will, what the Father has laid out before you, you are actually increasing your hope in Christ Jesus. You're increasing your knowledge, your wisdom, your fullness. When you're doing this, you're actually becoming the fullness in Christ Jesus. So when perseverance is necessary through whatever trial, tribulation you're going through, know that it is increasing your character, because you are going to the source in order to feed into the perseverance, the character, and then you know what hope is all about, because only by him was it possible. You can say that, because God says, I will meet your need. Only by feeding 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves, only by him. I challenge you this week, whatever perseverance that you're that you're going through right now, whatever trial, tribulation, whatever it is, my encouragement to you is to stop what you're doing, whatever the source is. Maybe it's a coworker that you're like, that's who my source is, because they get me. Stop going to your coworker and go to the Father. Stop relying on food and going to your Father. The fullness in Christ Jesus is where it's at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Why do I read this scripture? Because too often people will challenge your faith, and they'll say things in a way to distract you from what's happening by saying, you know, God this, and who is God, and he doesn't do these things, and man, why would he do this in the Old Testament and then different in the New Testament? And then they boggle your brain, and we've got a scripture that's so wonderful for all of us to lean to and say, well, we see things right now imperfectly. I don't got it. I don't get it, and I may never get it. But I trust and I have hope in Christ Jesus because I have experienced the source in my situations that have overcome things that I didn't think was possible. So when you lean in this scripture to say, man, you know what? I don't see things in perfect clarity. It's okay. When I was a freshman in college, I had two roommates in my dorm room area, and they were on me all the time about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I looked at both of them and I said, guys, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm seeing things partially right now, in somewhat incomplete, but I'm okay with it. I have experienced enough of God that I know that he's real. Hope believes the best. Hope encourages us to pursue after the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 12, which I just read, I want to read it in the NIV version this time. It says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Face to face. I don't think you've reasoned on that future moment. Someday, you're going to see face to face. That's huge. Face to face, guys. I mean, I think we read it in the first time I read it, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, the NLT version, that now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. We're like, oh yeah, we'll see everything in perfect clarity. No. Someday, all of you, remember, death and taxes, it's inevitable. All of you will see him face to face. I have done too many funerals where I go, why did they die so early? They were so young, so abrupt, so quickly. I see it all the time. And I think, oh man, all of you, not to get on some morbid bandwagon right now, but all of you, we'll see face to face. Now, this is not the reason, and I'm not having some altar call moment right now where it's like, let me fear them about hell and get them to get saved. No, that will never be my motive. But I'm here to tell you, face to face, you will be in the presence of God, and you will see him face to face. I do believe that when you get to heaven, you will probably have a one-on-one interaction with Jesus. Imagine that moment. I mean, we are living, some of you are like, that's preposterous to think about. He'll be sitting on the throne. We're living in eternity. Eternity. Pretty sure you're going to have a moment with Jesus face to face. But the reality is now you're like, I do what I want. Face to face. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Let me say it again. Therefore he is able once and forever. This is the hope that we have once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with. Not intercede against God. Intercede with God on their behalf.
Right.
Hope has a byproduct. Hope's byproduct is motivation. Motivation. Hope. That motivation is key. It's what put Peter on the water. It's what Noah used to build an ark. And it's put David defeating the giant. Motivation. Hope has a byproduct in its motivation. Band, come on up. Loved. Point number three. You are loved. That's who you are. Someone who is loved will produce love. In 1 John 2:9-11, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. So someone who is loved will produce love. Anyone who loves their brother and sisters, it lives in the light. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. And if you are nearsighted right now in any way, shape, or form, this is not talking about your blood brothers or sisters. This is talking about us in this room right now. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So it's knowing that if anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, they do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So back to, you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus as loved so that you actually have perpetual motion of a source. So you have him taking you somewhere that you will know where you're going. People who aren't loved or don't understand love and choose not to love back, what takes place is they are lost.
Yeah, that's right.
They're lost.
Yeah.
Can I just be so bold? I don't have time. This is where I want to go back to one service. Let's just have like one long giant service and everyone just sits in Indian style everywhere and all across. Sorry, that wasn't politically correct now. I just heard it's crisscross something sauce. Apple, yeah. I want everybody just sitting everywhere. All right? Because I want to go forever sometimes and I don't have enough time. So let me keep going as much as I can here because this is where you guys need to understand there's so many problems in marriages right now because motives. You have one individual in the marriage that wants to have this motive to go this and do that, and it's kind of like it's not actually governed by God. And then there's discourse, and because you've webbed this huge argument of things, and what takes place is that you can't get back to the Father to know what you're supposed to do because another incident has happened, another incident's happened, and you didn't even know how you got there. But somehow now you're stuck in this spider web of problems when if it was just given from the source, Jesus Christ, then you'd be okay. Sometimes you do need a reset and to say, hold on, let's go back to the beginning. How did we get here? And you got there because you were operating not from a place of love, but from a place of selfishness, self-ambition, and you weren't bringing your spouse with you with these decisions. This goes on to carry on to friendships and relationships within the church. People have motives that are not good. They have selfish ideas. And you're not following what the Word of God says to do. In 1 John, if you continue, go down in chapter 2, 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Not a better group of scriptures for us to wrap up on the point of love, knowing that when you love God and you dismiss the world, you have everything you need. Love has a byproduct: happiness and joy, empathy and compassion, self-esteem, resilience, sense of purpose. Love's byproducts is everything people are searching for. The source is God. God is love. He is everything wrapped in love. God is with you. He's for you. So what fights against trust, hope, and love? Worry. Deficit. You've allowed external sources to deplete you. You don't realize it. They're slowly taking things from you, your identity, who you are, what you should be doing. If you find your trust, hope, and love in Him, I got this text from a pastor friend of mine this past week. It says, I'm listening to the sounds of the morning. There's a bird chirping. I wonder what's on his mind. I wonder if he worries about anything. Jesus tells us that he doesn't. I wonder what that's like. My dog is eagerly sniffing and trying to lick my face. He acts like he doesn't remember that I didn't have time for him last night. He doesn't seem to hold a grudge. I wonder what that's like. A cool breeze gently blows through the trees this morning. I'm not sure where it came from. Certainly don't know where it's going. It doesn't seem to matter. And I wonder what that feels like. I wonder what today would be like if we didn't worry or carry a grudge or weren't overly concerned about what tomorrow will bring. Today, when I hear the bird, see my dog, and feel the breeze, I'm going to remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's pretty powerful. I don't know how you could walk out of this room today and continue on your path and not choose His path. His path is the way, the best way. You won't live in deficit. Worry will fade. Trust will increase. Hope will increase. Love will increase every day. Glory to glory to glory. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your people who have chosen to be your people, who have chosen to follow after your decrees and after your ways and not their ways. God, I thank you, Lord, that we are giving it all to you. We're worshiping you and magnifying your name everywhere we go. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you do not abandon us and you do not cast us to the side, but Lord, that you have your focus on us to see us grow in glory to glory to glory. Lord, that you are for us and not against us. And God, I thank you for that love that you have for us, the hope and the trust. Lord, I'm so thankful